God's grace and peace be to you and to those around you as we worship together today. It's so very nice to see you. One of the blessings of spending time with Scripture is that every once in a while, and usually it's pretty frequently, there'll be a phrase that you read in Scripture and you've read it before and you've heard it before, but somehow it finally kind of hits you. And so that happens to me, even though I've spent time with Scripture for many years. There's times when I've read Scripture and I've read it and I've read it and I know it and I understand it. And then once I read it and it strikes me in a particular way, and I have to share it with you. I really do. I have no choice. I can do it individually, but it'll take a lot more time. Let's do it this way instead. It is our reading from Hebrews, and it is the fourth and fifth chapter or verses of our reading from Hebrews in the second verse. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Indeed, it's good for us to recognize that the devil is given credit for having the power of death, and perhaps more important, that through his death and resurrection, it is Christ who frees us who are held in slavery by the fear of death. Held in slavery by fear, and it's not just any kind of fear. It's not the fear that perhaps you've forgotten to turn the stove off, or fear that you don't have your taxes done properly. No, it's the fear of death. Held in slavery by the fear of death. And the death of Jesus Christ frees us from that fear. I found it amazing as I talked to the confirmands in my previous congregation and even this congregation, that when I asked them, does your family talk about death? The answer was, no, we don't talk about death. And I thought, that's really odd, because seriously, over the course of years, people pass away. You know, relatives, friends, there's people who are notable who pass away, and their names are in the newspapers, and people grieve deeply for their passing, and it's just an opportunity to talk about death. And certainly, if you're a Christian, at least once a year, we talk about the death and resurrection of our Lord, hopefully more so than that. So why shouldn't families, why shouldn't young people, why shouldn't older people, their parents, why shouldn't grandparents, why shouldn't we occasionally talk about death? Because it is that one thing that faces all human beings. It faces all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're young or you're old. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you went to college or you didn't go to college. Doesn't matter whether you're unemployed or employed, single or married or widowed. All of us will have to face death at one moment or another. And so why not talk about it? Why not talk about what we believe about life and what we believe about death and what we believe God's word speaks to us about life and death? Why not do that? Why not do that? Why not? I guess I was blessed. I grew up with a family where we would talk about almost everything. I mean, almost everything. And so you don't have to agree as a family, but it gives us an opportunity to see what we believe, to express our emotions, to deal with our fears and concerns. Talk about it. Talk about death. And then remember what Jesus said about life and death. And recall God's word of life and death. Indeed, in this reading from Hebrews, we hear that Christ died so that we might be freed from slavery by the fear of death. And indeed, if you're afraid of death, if your life is kind of always fixed on not dying or staying alive or whatever, it's hard to live a faithful life as a Christian, because your focus is not on God and in service to your neighbor. Your focus is on mere survival. Now, don't get me wrong. It's important to be alive. It's hard to do ministry if you're not alive. Seriously. That means you have to do all those things you need to do in order to stay alive. But that doesn't mean you're a slavery to fear, to the fear of death. That means you recognize there's a necessity to eat, to pay your taxes, to get insurance, to make sure you have air in your tires. All those things are important, but they're just small important things. The big important thing is living for Christ. And one day God will call us home. And people who don't believe in Jesus call that death. One day God will call us home. And it's a day that perhaps you're not looking forward to later on this afternoon, but indeed it is an opportunity to be with the Lord, which we think is a very good thing. We don't know exactly what heaven is about. We've heard some things in Scripture. There are some things in our heart that speak to us about what heaven may be about, but it's going to be a really good place to be. And we'll see a lot of people we know, and that'll be great. And we'll be near Jesus, and that'll be even better. And we'll trust in God's promise of eternal life and salvation. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. That through Jesus Christ, you've been freed from slavery of fear of death. And so when you put your day together, okay, keep that in mind. These bodies are all temporary. These lives that we have on earth are all temporary. All of our concerns are limited. You know, 200 years from now, people will not be worrying about what we worried about. As a matter of fact, they won't necessarily be thinking about us very much. We're coming and we're going, and for a little while we're here. And what we do during that little while is important. Just keep it in mind. I don't want you to get frantic or anything, you know. But I think we need to recognize that time is fleeting. We need to be productive, and we need to be useful, and we need to love one another as Christ loves us, and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us by his death upon the cross, by his precious blood. You know, that fear of death should not be in our mind. We should not spend our time worrying. The only thing good about worrying is that sometimes it motivates us to do things. But if you spend all your time worrying, you're not doing what you should be doing. God has work for you to do. If you spend all your time worrying about things, you're not doing the work that Christ wants you to do. You're not following in his path. Worrying is a pretty useless way of spending your time here on earth. So don't. You don't control your life. You certainly don't control most things in the world. The best we can do is occasionally control our emotions, and that's for some people infrequently. We have very little control over our lives, but we can submit to the Lord. We can give our lives to Christ, and then we can follow in his path, not worrying about, well, what'll happen tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or the day after that. Ultimately, it all ends up good because Christ takes us home, and that is good news. And God gives us what he has promised to us, to all those who have followed in his path. God gives us forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. In our gospel message today, we hear about the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and we recognize that Joseph and Mary did what was required by the law of the Lord. They presented Jesus in the temple. Here's a holy child, the very Son of God, being presented in the temple and dedicated to God, and I find that fascinating. That one who is God's only son is dedicated to God. That is just wonderful. They did all that a good parent should do. And during that time, two prophets on whom the Holy Spirit rested, speak the future for the world. We hear of Simeon who says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So Jesus, even as a baby, even as a child, is esteemed. He is foretold. His future is already known to some of the prophets. And if that weren't enough, Anna speaks up also. For she says, at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. We don't know her exact words, but again, she sees Christ as a child to be the salvation not only of his own people, but of the Gentiles and ultimately of the world. God keeps his promises. He promised to the people of Israel he would send the Messiah, and he did. He promised to the Gentiles that the Messiah he would send would be a light unto them. And Christ is that light, for that light has enlightened us and allowed us to worship here today. God keeps his word. He keeps his word to Simeon and to Anna. And today he keeps his word to us as we share in his body and blood. For as we share in that blessed sacrament, we receive him as he is, in body and in flesh, body and in blood. And we receive him not as a child, but as the Messiah, the Son of God, and ultimately, the judge of all. My hope for us as we hear this scripture is that we are reminded that the death has no power over us if we believe in Jesus Christ, that death may take our body, but that our soul and spirit will go home to be with the Lord, and ultimately God will give us a new resurrection body. And in the meantime, let us use our time wisely, as limited as it may be. No one knows what the next hour may bring. Let us be faithful in the moment, in whatever time God has given to us. And let us not worry about tomorrow, because God is already there waiting for us. And he will either bless us abundantly, or he will be there to take us home. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.